We're in the middle of a series of five talks looking at Woody priorities for the coming year. We met as a leadership team back earlier in the year and agreed as a leadership team, so as the elders, deacons, home group leaders, what we felt the priorities would be. So we thought the best time to pitch this would be now, when we got guys coming to us saying, what's this bunch all about? So part of this is to give you a handle on what we're about. So the Woody vision is actually quite straightforward. And if there are people here who do visions and scrap lines and all that sort of stuff, I know you say it's not really a vision, it's just a few nice sort of things. Whatever. It's something we can agree on. It's what we want to do. First, to love God. That's the first calling. To love each other. Nah, it gets tricky then. We were doing so well on number one. Why didn't we just stop there? And love the community. And the community that this church has been planted in is Cattays. So, the vision is to affect this community. And in many ways, we don't. Those are the three sort of overarching things: love God, love each other, love Cattays. And the priorities we're looking at are connections with Cattays, and I'll just mention that while we're there. I preached on that. I spoke on that a few weeks ago. Actually, when we had the half marathon, so the six of us that were here had a good time, and hopefully you all remember that. So I'll just remind you for the rest of you. To love a community, you have to know them. You can't do it in a vacuum. You can't just go into prayer and say, Lord, I really love this community. What if the Lord says, name some of them? You say, oh yeah, well, but I love them. You've got to get to know them. And that's a process. So, some of this is going to sound simplistic to the point of view of, you might think this is very naive. But what we've been trying to do is connect to this community. First of all, this community is quite a commercial community. First of all, I want to just point out that although it's seen as a student area, there are over 800 families in Cattays. So it's not an exclusively student area. Although it's 65% rented, that number, we'd expect that to change now with all the sort of bigger tower blocks coming in, and there may be more properties coming back, available for families. So I'm challenging the idea that this is just a student area. But there's a lot of businesses, as you know, on this road. And I want to encourage you to connect with those businesses. I particularly want to encourage you if you live in the area, and this is primarily the students, primarily in this church, the students live in the area. I want to encourage you to go against the flow, to be real rebels. In little ways. So when people say, let's go to Costa and Starbucks, do you know what? Those guys got billions. Let's go to Saffron over the road, which is the owners in there running that cafe, which does fantastic coffee and the cheapest coffee in a long way. Or you can go to Cocoa here. You'll all have known about Cocoa. It's fantastic. The flat whites there are awesome. There's lots of coffee shops. There's lots of restaurants. There's lots of cafes around here. I'd really encourage you to use them. And I'd encourage you, as you use them, see, the way to get to know business people is to spend money in their businesses. And it takes a long time, and people will know that. I've told stories about when you get to know people and then doors open, maybe to share, maybe to pray, maybe to bless. All we're trying to do is connect, and we're starting from nowhere. So it's those simple things. And I would really encourage you. I know when we said about Woody, I'm speaking to the non-students now, I'm speaking to the heart of the church. I know when we said about, I came with the vision and we were like, okay, it's about Cattays. And people say, well, we're in other communities. And what I want to say is, how is that working for you? If you're connecting with your community, that is brilliant. If you're opening your home, you're getting to know your neighbours, you're doing stuff at the school gate, I know that there is lots of good stuff going on here. Here's the challenge. If that is not happening, maybe it's a time to come to Cattays and be part of establishing a presence here, even for a season, to build that up before going on and seeing what God would say about your own communities. But I really believe this church has to be known in Cattays. On Monday night, we had something called Compass, which is a Cattays community forum. And a month before, we had 20 people here from shops and businesses and the library and other churches and school. And we said, should we form a forum? And we said, yeah, 20. And then last Monday there were 40 people. Residents, and it's becoming a body. And there's something going on in Cates. There's a community forming. This is not from me. This is from other people who've lived here for years. We said, we've tried to do this, and we've never been able to do it. So there's an opportunity. There's a bus about to leave the depot. There's something to get on board with. I would encourage you. Go on the York Cates website. This is not a woody thing. We're just a partner in it. Anyway, talk to me about that if you're interested. Prayer. Now, prayer was a key thing. We got Rob Jones in last week, and I know that was a challenge for some of you. That's why I was sort of putting, as a pastor, I found that a challenging experience because I felt that God was doing stuff and God was moving us on, but I could see some of you were freaked out. And I just want to encourage you, and I want to say something. When we meet as a church, there has to be an element of safe danger or dangerous safety. It can't be all totally safe because God is not about meeting with people and leaving them as they are. There should be challenge. Anyone still with me? There should be challenge. The key is love and communication. The key is, I wasn't comfortable with that, I need to talk to someone about it. The key is, we're not doing anything we hope here to control or manipulate. We are trying to follow God. And we love you guys. And we want to show love into this area. And there's going to be times where you think, what happened then? And that's called stumbling forward. You know, in the midst. And in the midst, but in the mist, not really seeing. And that's how we do, we stumble forward. So if you want a church that is the same every week, that's predictable, and no risk is ever taken, I can't promise that will be this house. And I don't know if I want to be in a house like that. Because I want the Holy Spirit to move, because He is Lord. It's His church. I'll leave that one there. Relationships is what I'm going to be talking about today. Just to tell you the other two, a hearing from God, and that's the private hearing, but it's to share. You know, people... So hold that preach right there, Chris. And praying for healing. Back that one up. Right, okay, here we go. Relationships. Okay, I want to just talk about... I've talked about relationships before also, you know, as we've looked at this vision thing, you know. And we spent quite a time, we looked at Corinthians, on some scriptural sort of structures for relationships and how we do relationships. And that is one reason why the table for communion is in the center. Because I did two talks on communion, and I was so challenged that I feel doing communion wrong for a long time. Because to me, communion had been, I'm sorry if I'm stealing your thunder, Stu, shall I just back up?
You carry on, I'll just throw my next
one. And Stu will be sharing on this later. So, right, so that's why the communion table is in the middle, because it's a community doing communion. Right. But there's some essential maintenance you need to do. You see, relationships aren't a static thing, are they? They change. Circumstances change. People go through stages. Misunderstandings happen. So they need maintenance. Anything you value in life needs maintenance. The opposite of maintenance, I'm going to say, is neglect. Relationships that are neglected often are not healthy. In fact, if they are healthy, you've got to work out on what you're judging the health of a relationship. So I'm just going to go through three before I actually get to the scripture for today and the message for today. I just want to sort of say, right, we're in the same area in terms of relationships. Three verses. So three verses, three thoughts. Okay. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Well, we could just stop there, couldn't we, and ask the Lord to show us how does that work. Are you a Christian because you've got a tag on your car or because you've got a verse on your computer screen? Or because you come to church. People know that you're disciples of Christ. This is from the man himself, by your love for one another. Recently, there was a meeting in Cardiff, a very encouraging meeting of Muslim background believers. So these are believers who've come from a Muslim background. And there's something happening in that whole area at the moment, I believe. Anyway, this is one of a number of meetings happened in Cardiff, disconnected, and then you think, oh, that's interesting, what's going on here? And one of these Muslim background believers, so a person who was a Muslim, came to Christ, asked the assembled leaders and church people, what do you think is the number one reason for Muslims to come to Christ? And people said, scripture. They read the scripture. And, you know, I'd encourage you to read stories of Muslims coming to Christ, because the way God uses scripture, oh, my gosh, it's beautiful. Oh, no. Many of you might have heard that lots of Muslims are getting dreams. Jesus is visiting them in dreams. This is happening all over the world in huge numbers, much of which we'll never hear of without going through very specialist organizations that deal with that. It's not a good thing to publicize widely. But you can trust me, many, many are having those. I've met a guy recently. That happened to him. Jesus came to him as a practicing Muslim in a dream. And he ended up giving his life to Christ. The number one reason is the love that they see in Christians for God and for one another and for others. The love that they see. When Christians are together, they see this. They see it. They discern it. They see this is a marked difference. So do not be fooled into thinking that things aren't being noticed. Okay, bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That is a scary one, isn't it? That's quite scary. Because I think we'll find that the Lord forgives completely. I will not remember, says the Lord, that which you've laid before me. So this is a place of forgiveness. This is a place where when you mess up and you hurt someone, it's not the end of the road. You don't have to go and get lawyers in and try and get a settlement sorted. You can work through forgiveness. And that is the Lord's will for you. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's beautifully put. Maintenance. Effort. Not neglect, effort. So there's three verses that speak to us as a fellowship. What you know, sort of some guidelines, what we should be doing, what the Lord is expecting. We should be making efforts to keep peace, to keep unity. How are you doing? What's happening? Blah, blah, blah. Problem. This is the problem. We follow all those things. We're forgiving each other. We're loving each other. Everything's great. We're keeping the bonds of peace. Blah, blah. And we could end up as a cozy club. We could end up as the most balanced and forgiving and loving social club in Cardiff. And that is the danger. And that's why I feel today I need to bring a challenge into this. I need to bring something. And I've struggled with this. I'm grateful to Alistair. I'm really grateful to Alistair. I was struggling with the verse since Tuesday, trying to find the message. And then last night, Alistair sent through a text saying, oh, I didn't know what you're preaching on. It's to do a relationship, so I got this. And he sent the text. I thought, yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? And the challenge is how we not remain as a cozy club. And there's a time in Acts where it seems that, Bible scholars, I submit to your greater knowledge, it seems that the church was becoming a bit of a cozy club. It's doing really, really well. Cozy club, they were being beaten up. But they were doing really well, and they were, and the Lord was like, yeah, they're not really breaking out, and sent persecution, and bang, and the church goes, you look at the history of Acts, it's amazing. Right, so this brings us to our reading, and our reading is Hebrews 10. I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's in your word. Thank you that people read your word and barriers break and oh gosh, stuff breaks down. And Father, we're coming from a point of view of familiarity. We know your word to an extent, and so we need a freshness, Lord. We need, Father, for you to break open our hearts and to open our minds and to put the word into us afresh, Lord, the seed. So, Father, as we read together the word now, would you speak to us through it in Jesus' name? Amen. Okay. Hebrews 10. Not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to go from verse 15. I'm sort of ripping this a bit out of context because we're time limited and I really want to focus on one particular aspect of this. So excuse me for that. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So I've got to put a bit of context on this because he's coming from the point of saying he's looked at the Old Testament structures where the high priest every year was going and giving blood and every day sacrifices were made. And he says, look, there was no forgiveness with that. You were going through it. It was just to show how serious sin was, etc. And so what he's saying is this is the transition. He's showing the transition from what was happening in the Old Covenant with that priest and where we're heading now with Christ. Okay, so that's where the Old Covenant, the New Covenant comes in. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. Okay. Therefore, right, it's really from here we need to. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So as I say, he's comparing what was happening with the old system, and that's why he says, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Oh, what an invitation. We have confidence through Christ, through what Christ has done, to enter the most holy place, to enter the presence of God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance. I just want to draw your attention to one little thing there. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. I would say the bodies washed with pure water alludes to baptism. This is a Baptist church. I'm going to slip that in. Immersion. Yeah, I love you. I love you. Just saying. I'm just saying what it says on the paper. But here's the thing I want you to do. Communion is a good place to come and have your conscience cleansed from guilty works, dead works, and all that stuff. Stu can pick up on that. This is what I want to look at. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. And this is the heart of it. Because to stop us being a cozy club, we need to be encouraging one another on into the things of God, into the things of the kingdom, into sharing, into being open, into you know, works of service. We need to be encouraging each other. Please don't think, I know I'm quite passionate on that, this is not just my job to stand at the front and say, come on people, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is about in a relationship. This is why it says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. I don't believe that's just about gathering as churches. That's actually putting yourself in relationship. And all the more as you see the day approaching, the day being the day of judgment, the day that there's going to be a time when this season of grace and of gospel will end, the Lord will return, bang. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That is the sentence, spur one another on. And I find that when I quote that as a scripture, let's spur one another on, you know, come on, you can do it. And I forget what a spur is. What's a spur? A spur is basically a very sharp thing that you put on your foot and you kick the side of a horse with to encourage it. Do you see what I mean? That's a very strong word. That's all right. Do you want to read out the Greek? It's right. There's the Greek. There's Rob. Do you want to have a go?
I don't do Greek.
You don't do Greek? I should have got some Hebrew. I think it's something like paroxysmos. Paroxysmos. It's an incitement. It's a strong word. It's an incitement to good, or you can go the other way in anger. The other time it's used is in Acts when Paul and Barnabas fall out. And they fall out. I'm watching you. You're going to sit down here next time. And they fall out. They have a disagreement because they've incited each other. They've. It's got really sharp, too sharp, in fact, to the point where they've had to go different ways. Stay with me, people. Please stay with me. There's not long to go. So, I don't even know what everyone's laughing at. Have I done something very stupid here? No. Okay. For a change. So, the word is spur. The word is a sharp needle to sort of say, come on. Okay. And the question is our faith, is it a private faith? Is it none of your business how I'm going on with God? Is it in this whole consumer thing and this whole I look after all that is to do with me, it's only to do with me and God? If you believe that your faith is just between you and God, then you're just completely wrong. If you believe that it's just between you and God. Is this something I should know about?
No, it's my interpretation of
what we have meant as a good word,
it's the
change that came out wrong. Okay. Sorry. Do you want a glass of water? Right. So basically, a lot of people will say, this is my faith. This is just between me and God. Don't get involved. In fact, I don't even have to share it if I don't want to. One of the dilemmas is that you can get on great with God. It's when other people get involved that is tricky. That is the whole point. The whole point is that this is a body. That's why he had to say, forgive one another, seek unity and peace and all that stuff. If we were all in our little, you know, not connecting with each other and all just me and God and I don't have to see anybody else, wouldn't be a problem. That's why our love for each other is so powerful, because it's a community that is walking in the love of Christ. I'm just going to look at this side now, because that side's lost it. This is why it's so important. Oh, you've lost it as well. They said there'd be days like this. This is why we need to spur each other on. This is why we need to be open with each other. This is why God has taken care of our needs in terms of our relationship with Him. He's done it all. He's made a way for us always to be able to go into His presence. He's done that. That is sorted. You don't have to worry about that. Enter the presence of God with boldness and confidence. That is done. It's the working out. And that is not something to be in isolation. And by isolation, I don't just mean I actually see other people. I mean isolation in terms of honesty, of sharing where you're at. Now, there's none of this I'm going to force. I can force. I am just saying what I believe this word is saying here. So here's some key elements as we try, as we look to maintain healthy relationships. You need accountability. You have to be accountable. Why? Because there's nothing more deceitful than the heart. Jesus told us that. There's nothing more deceitful than your heart. So things in you, things in me can make great sense. Oh, I'm doing fantastically. And then you share that with someone. They say, oh, really? You know, what about this? Oh, yeah, I'm doing so well. I'm praying so much. Are you praying? Are you blessing anybody? Are you doing good works to people? Are you changing lives? Ah, no, but do you see what I mean? So accountability, speaking to one another, taking that step, speaking to each other. And honesty, this is such a challenge. This is such a challenge to be honest with one another. But if we can start to move in relationships in this way, then we will start to see reality coming in here. You have to be intentional. We've been on this leaders' conference. It talked a lot about intentionality. None of this happens by accident or by chance. You have to be intentional. You have to say, yeah, I'm going to be accountable with people. I want to move on with God. I want people to ask what it is about me, the love that I have in my life, what is it? Where does that come from? So I can tell them about Christ. You have to be intentional. You have to say, yeah, I'm going to share with people. I'm going to meet with people. And the context, I would say that this happens, I'm offering this up, are the triplets and the home group. And particularly triplets, because that thing of three is very powerful in terms of that level of honesty. It's difficult to be honest in larger groups. I would encourage in home groups to say, how are you doing in terms of witness? How are you doing in terms of sharing your faith? How are you doing just blessing people, whatever? It's not about guilt. It's about spurring one another on. I didn't write that. That's in the scriptures. We are to spur one another on. Come on, you can do that. Have you talked to anyone this week? What about talking to someone next week? Why don't you and I agree? Why don't we pray about that? See, make this the currency in your groups. Make this legitimate. Get in places where this happens. Are you in those sort of situations? It can be just a couple of friends. See, but just start to be real about this. Just start to root it. Because it's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen just by saying, oh, you know, we did some series on relationships and that's all cool now. And the Lord can't build on faulty relationships. He can only build on strong foundations. Because otherwise, the building will fall. It's sand. Oh, yeah, everything's fine. How are you doing? Fine. How are you doing? Fine. Yeah, God's good. Hallelujah. Broken inside. Not able to forgive my brother over there. Communion every week. I hate your guts. Fine. How can the Lord build on that? How can the Lord build? How can stuff happen? You have to be intentional. You have to be maintenance. And sometimes it's hard. You have to have courageous conversations. Say, something's not right between us. Can we talk about that? You have to do it, guys. You have to do it. You have to take that. Because it's not going to get better on its own. It's not going to get sorted on its own. You need to be intentional in this stuff. Some questions for you. I'm not going to even preach on that. I'm going to put some questions up. I just want you don't have to answer. Tell me about. It's just for you to think about some of this stuff. Because this has to be individual decisions. Who's got the right to ask you, how are you doing? Good point. Okay, I'm going to read those questions out so it's on the tape, otherwise it's not going to make any sense at all. Okay, so the questions I got for four things for you to just work out between you and God. Who can ask me about this? Who is actually able to say, how is your walk going? Who can spur me? Who do I give permission to? Who have I blessed in the last 2 days? Who have I been a blessing to? Who have I said something good to or helped, told them about Jesus, prayed for them, whatever, done a work of grace? Who can I bless this week? Take this away. Think, okay, going through this week, have I got any tricky meetings? Anyone? Make a decision. Be intentional. Get in partnership with the Spirit. And this one I give to you as a challenge. Because God is not going to force himself on you, but you need to decide whether you're prepared to ask him or not. That's the key. And if you're not, then be honest with him. Say, Lord, I don't want to talk to anyone. But please be honest with the Spirit. Today I will ask God to give me someone to bless or share a faith story with or something. Yes or no. I don't really see another option there. Okay, that's a challenge I'm leaving with you. In the group, spur one another on. Home, you know, leaders in groups, look for opportunities to do that. Times of sharing and stuff. If we want to see stuff happen in this community, we need healthy relationships. Thank you very much. Bless you.